Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're staring at my tail. Do you want to touch it?
Ooh, you want
to
stroke it?
Welcome to Guilty Pleasures. Yeah. Hey, welcome into the show. How's everybody doing?
Everybody's good.
How you feeling out there? Is that a dolphin call?
Yeah, baby.
Feeling.
The call of the wild. The call of her people. Bless you.
Tight, Bowie. Bowie gets excited for Sarah Paxton movies from the early 2000s.
Yeah,
that's right. We're talking about Aquamarine.
Excuse me. The fact that you just introduced that as Sarah Paxton's movie when it is so clearly JoJo's film.
JoJo. I'm talking
and not JoJo Siwa.
No.
I'm talking about JoJo Get Out Right Now, JoJo.
The OG JoJo.
It's the end of you and me.
Oh my God. She's
and
so
it's
good.
Too late. And I can't. You can't sing it without going.
You guys remember Allison from BuzzFeed?
Uh-huh.
The IT? She was her demo singer and she would do background for her as well.
What?
She sings so well.
Oh, I do know she had an amazing voice.
Yeah.
This is true.
I'm sorry. Someone we knew was like the temp singer and then they would replace.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yep.
We know famous people.
Yeah, we do.
Wow. But if you knew how to pick them.
Yeah, they did.
Shit.
The hits don't stop hitting. Before we get into the show, a quick reminder to rate the show 5 stars if you want to support us. Mm-hmm. I've never done that before. You're shocked.
Yeah,
I am very
I listened to a podcast and I saw they did that. I'm like, oh, right, I was supposed to do that. So, you know, it helps people find the show and leave a little review. Maybe say Bowie sneezed and it was cute.
Yeah.
Actually, don't say that. It's not going to help anyone watch the show.
Yeah. If you're here, I feel like you're here because you watch every week, right? If you've made it this far, you're a watcher.
This is a real ones only space.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
Fair.
We're not even here to talk about movies. We're just here to vibe.
We're here to vibe.
About friendship.
Rainey asked me a question the other day, and I actually would love for you guys to sound off in the comments if you're watching on YouTube, or just, I don't know, text me.
Okay. Yeah,
Texas. Find my number, text me.
Yeah.
Is this a comedy show about movies or a movie show with comedy?
Oh,
whoa.
Okay.
And it really blew my mind when she asked. And I was like,
all right.
Oh,
hold
shit.
On.
A little sweet
slow
little vice
down.
Versa.
Because we change our mind, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, we do.
Wait, can you say it again?
Is this a comedy show about movies?
Uh-huh.
Or a movie show with comedy?
Comedy show about movies because sometimes we talk about sex and stuff. And so I feel like that.
The hee-hees and the ha-has.
Yeah. And the fact that we haven't even talked about the movie and we're already, like 3 minutes in. Yeah, I feel like that's comedy show.
The person who has spent her whole career dissecting and watching movies wants to believe I'm a real commentator, a real critique, some might say.
Yeah.
Except for when anybody asks me, oh, what's your podcast? I have a hard time projecting myself into the community as a real movie critic.
Yeah, I think that I'm happier with this as a comedy show. But every now and then we go, I would like to talk about a movie I love, and this is not for the lols. This is for real.
Do you guys like how I sent you that in the group chat the other day where I was like, this legit company has made an identical podcast to ours where it's they invite their favorite stars on to talk about their movies.
That's plagiarism.
We are original. This is how we got made. Yes, we owe everything that we're doing here to Paul Scheer. How did this get made? I'm not even gonna pretend for a second
I did not know. I thought that was for sure.
No, we are a poor man's Paul Scheer, June Diane Raphael, and Jason Mantzoukas.
Fuck.
I don't know who's who.
You don't know who's who?
And I guess I do.
Oh, out of all of us?
Who's who?
Well, you're the girl.
Oh! Ow!
I'm sorry.
Damn!
It was just right there.
You just set us back like 15 years,
I'm so sorry.
Brother.
But I wanted to revert myself back to a 15-year-old.
There you go.
And
okay.
Be like a child. And
say that makes you
like,
the Jason Mantzoukas.
That makes you
Jason
Mantzoukas.
Which makes you Paul Scheer.
I'm trying to keep us on track. And
that turns out.
Yeah, that's
the lead with the nice hair.
Fucker.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about Aquamarine, and let me tell you, I am a sucker for an early 2000s comedy starring Sarah Paxton.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I can't get enough. This and Sleepover.
Halloween Town.
And who the fuck is she in Halloween Town?
Isn't she in Halloween Town 3?
She is. You're right.
Four.
Season 4 when she replaced the original actress.
And they both have butt chins.
Oh, is that it? Maybe that's why they wanted her so badly.
They look
like,
nothing alike otherwise.
They're just like, you guys got booty chins.
They could just swap one for the other butt chin. Yeah. Wow.
I owned this movie on DVD, but I can't say, this might have been the second time I watched it. I just had it.
The way that this movie, whether you liked it or not, replayed at every slumber party.
Oh, so you know it.
So you're familiar.
Did you not see me freak out in the group chat when you suggested it? And I was like, you mean a legend? A legendary, an iconic, a classic.
Oh, wow.
And I'm glad you said that. I want to give a shout out because we had something else on the slate, but there has been one person who has been posting weekly saying, please do Aquamarine.
Wow.
Yeah. So I want to say that your perseverance paid off.
Yeah.
We heard you.
It took a while.
It took a bit.
But we heard you.
We got it. We're doing Aquamarine.
This is for you, listener.
For you.
Shall we dive in?
Let's do it.
I didn't even mean it. I swear.
Here we go with the accidental puns about water.
Oh, my goodness.
And fish.
Wow. I think this episode's going to make a splash.
Oh, boy. Oh, shit.
Okay.
Derek, it's you and me, bud.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to do the synopsis, but don't flip out, okay?
No more. You got three.
Oh, fuck. My God.
One, two, three. We got the trifecta.
I'm having Finn, guys. This is good.
No, I hated that one.
Sorry, Bowie.
That woke Bowie up.
Okay, I have no more. But I will say, for the record, the first one was genuine.
Okay.
Aquamarine stars a young Emma Roberts.
Wow. I
don't know her last name.
She don't need one.
And, of course, Sarah Paxton. Emma Roberts and JoJo are best friends, but just like in Sleepover, one's going to be moving away, leaving the nerdy one, the bookish one, all alone. How's she going to flirt with the hottie McHotties? Well, thank goodness, because there's a storm a-brewing. And I'm talking about hurricane season. Mm-hmm. Sarah Paxton washes up into a pool and... Uh-oh, she's a mermaid. What are they going to do about it? Well, the mermaid's here because she's running away from an arranged marriage.
I cannot wait to break down the gender problems in mer people land. But go on.
So her father is King Titan of the sea.
Of course.
As we come to understand.
Who carries a Triton.
Yep. Yeah.
Makes no sense.
So she's going to be married in 3 days. Unless she can prove to him that love is real. This is Aquamarine.
Dog.
I feel good.
Let me just say.
Also, the name is Water. I'm sorry. I just wanted to point that out. This is water.
And a crystal.
You sure?
For all my crystal girlies out here. Rainey, were you too young for this movie?
No, I watched this movie big time.
Oh, yeah.
You loved this movie.
Did you go as a mermaid to Halloween at any point in time?
Ooh, I was always like a DIY box Halloween costume.
Checks out. I love that.
I'm sorry, a DIY box?
Like I would take a cardboard box and somehow make it into my...
Oh, okay. Cool.
I like robot. Wearing a box. And being like, I'm a box.
She's just Snake from Metal Gear Solid. But
Once again, a box.
Yeah, I told Kaylin that we were doing this movie. Actually, I told her I was watching it because she came in for a meeting and I said, I'm very busy right now.
I'm watching Water.
I'm watching Water.
Yeah.
But when I told her this, she flipped out. And specifically, it was the starfish earrings.
That never tell a lie.
She's your best friend.
Tell me about them.
Okay, so this movie was every mandatory sleepover. I was 16 when this came out.
Oof.
So I was already into my sex and drugs and rock and roll, and yet you make a soft spot for this movie. You revert back to your teenage, preteen self. Yeah. This is the definition of a preteen movie, because it's not too saucy, but man, is it girlhood coded.
Yeah.
It is so everything about that awkward stage where you're wearing board shorts because you see the Billabong ad where the girl's so fucking hot, but she's just wearing board shorts and puka shells. But then you also like see the girls who are more developed and you just want your boobs to come in and you got to call the guy and hang up before it just nails girlhood, which blows my mind that this was written by two grown adult men.
That's correct. What?
I know it was based on a book by
a woman.
A woman and directed by a woman.
This was directed by a woman?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I looked it up today because I also was like, what fucking dude?
I thought it was two men that wrote it and one dude that directed it.
Mm.
No.
Who's the woman?
Elizabeth.
Are you
Alan
sure?
Rosenbaum.
Maybe I'm thinking of Kissing Booth.
Yeah. It's one man, two women. The writers. John.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
Wait, one man, two women? Three people needed to write this?
Well. It was screenplays.
That's crazy.
Screenplays, it takes like a village.
Yeah.
Sorry, did you watch this and think that it had a singularity of vision?
Are you kidding me? Hold. Nay, I stop thee because this movie is so well written. I'm looking at the one writer in the room that's a professional.
Mm.
Sorry to everyone here. The way they deliver information in this film is masterclass, as we like to say here.
I'm glad that you brought that up early because you're probably talking about one of the early opening scenes when she screams after falling into a pool for no reason, mind you. She just falls slow motion.
The stone cracked because of the storm. You didn't see the stone fall?
Okay, I'm glad. And then JoJo says, and I quote, "She gets scared in the water. Her parents drowned."
Delivering us information in a subtle way.
Oh my God.
So subtle.
Get the fuck out of here.
We knew she was afraid of water earlier when JoJo was like, "Why haven't you gone in the water, girl?"
Oh my
and she's God. Like, and you're like, "Oh, why is she afraid of water?" We don't need to know all the details. It'll slowly unfold. It teases us. Why is she moving to Australia? Don't worry about it. You're going to find out later.
My favorite example of this is they discover the mermaid in the pool and then the mermaid's out of the pool and turns out the mermaid has legs during the day and now she's naked, but that's fun and she wears a shirt. They've gone through all of these hijinks and she finds the boy that she's going to crush on. She's going to find out that love
Raymond.
Is real.
Raymond,
who I love.
They say his name so much.
So we have all of these scenes, we are deep into the hijink section, and she turns to camera or turns to them and goes, "My name's Aquamarine. Let's go meet Raymond."
Yeah,
lovely.
She said, "The hero's journey begins now."
We are crossing the threshold right down.
Yes, and today. I'm Aquamarine. Yeah, and the producer didn't wink.
The producer came to set and said, "Do we have her saying her name? Because I'm going to need that in the trailer."
Yeah.
And they went, "Well, we already kind of shot it all."
Yeah.
It seems kind of unnecessary to have her say her name. That's not how people talk. And the producer said, "Sorry, I'm writing the check. I'm going to need her to say, my name's Aquamarine."
Yeah.
They said, "Okay, I guess we'll find a place for it somewhere."
Yeah.
And
what
you got was cinematic perfection.
What I'm saying is they reveal the information slowly.
Yeah. I'm going to double down on this theory and say that the original screenplay, the name wasn't Aquamarine at all. I'm going to say that her name was like, I don't know, Elizabeth or something normal. And then the producer was just like, "What about water? What about two things that equal the same
and
word?
What if we named the hottie McHotterson Ray, like Manta Ray or Stingray?"
I swear to God, I'm the biggest fucking idiot on the planet. I did not put that together. I am so mad right now.
I mean, it's not like super obvious, but I did. I remember hearing it today and being like, the most clever writing. This is the best writing.
Yeah. Our Hottie McHottie is played by Jake McDormand, who you may remember from Greek. Mm-hmm. He also was in Mrs. Davis recently, a really weird show. Mm-hmm. And I just love him as an actor. He's goofy and weird.
He's slight on his goofiness. I feel like it's not like all the way in your face, not like total stoner, but like it, you know. When he does stand up for, you know, the young ladies of the cast later on
children.
In the movie. Yeah, literal children. Yeah. Where he's just like, "You guys obviously have like crushes on me, but I'm gonna like help out however I can." It's very sweet and adult and not like creepy and old and not not in like a dumb stoner way or anything
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, it's, that's what I also liked was like, he could easily be very dumb and yeah. like, you're hot. I like your fish boobs. Like yeah. he could have been very,
yeah.
but he actually gives like the hot guy some depth.
Yeah.
You're like, he actually cares about her. Yeah. When he went at the end, spoiler alert, when she's like, do you love me? I was like, I swear to fucking God, if this movie says yes, I'm trashing everything I just said about how great the writing was. But he goes, he's like, no, I mean, I like you a lot, but why is it so important that I love you today?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's real. That's yeah. realistic. That's yeah, good writing.
It's literally what I've been begging for people to say at the end of every reality show.
Mm. Yeah.
Every time they're like, will you marry me? And it's like a yes or no. It's like, can we talk tomorrow?
Like later, maybe later. I don't, yeah. Let's get to know each other. Let's not live with each other for 6 weeks, yeah. you know, only.
But then we wouldn't have reality shows. And what fun is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I know.
That's fair. So like on reality shows, I don't love that love is a game ever at all. I fucking hate it. I hate that it's a game show.
Love is not a game.
Love is
quote
not a game.
Garrick Bernard.
Hey,
honestly,
what's up? Put it on a mug.
That's a good pitch for a reality show. That's like an anti dating reality show.
If you want to do it for real, like you should just follow the couple for a year.
Damn.
And just like
couple
and just see what's going on.
I'm looking at my notes about the beginning of this movie and some of the writing and just things that I loved. First of all, any movie that begins with generic pop punk, I am 1,000% in.
You're into it.
And I want it to be like stock music pop punk.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This song, I don't know where they dug it up, but it was perfection.
How about my favorite musical moment was when Honey McHotterson jumps over the lifeguard fence. First of all, this moment is like slow motion. They shoot it from like four different angles. It was almost like if the cameraman discovered that he could just shoot slow-mo.
Yeah.
And they're like,
he's like 120 frames per second.
They're like, watch, yo, Hottie, do that again. And they play a song. Hmm. If you listen to the lyrics, it's literally like hard rock. And he's got his shirt off. And the lyrics are, I want you to control me.
Ew.
It's giving Twilight baseball scene meets sex for a preteen movie that it just didn't belong.
It's yeah. it's like Nine Inch Nails for children.
Yes.
3 inch nails.
There you go. Cute.
There are many production issues with this film. The beginning is shot on a blown out beach that is entirely 80 yard.
Yeah.
It is the first 30 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Coming from the spectacular show Shogun on Hulu,
wow,
that is dubbed if you want to, but like if you don't, you can just watch it regular like a normal person. But going to that scene right after watching that show, it's like, am I watching a kung fu movie? This is crazy.
It was like watching our dear Madam Web.
Yeah. No,
it was honestly
worse.
It was worse.
Because then everything, I was like, okay, so maybe it's all 80 yard because they are outside and it's on a beach and that's probably hard to do.
Yeah.
But then I was like, but not for this long. Maybe like figure it out a different way.
They just clearly fucked up.
That's what happens when you shoot a movie about a water mammal on the beach.
Yeah.
In a movie about storms.
There were many times, it's really funny to watch, that you can tell that they were trying to fix things in the edit. There's this storm scene, right? And it's like the camera's going to black a lot of black frames. And then there's just about 10 seconds in black. And they clearly just added lines because...
What?
They just...
Because of the blackout?
No, what blackout trying to extend, are you talking about?
When the storm first happened.
It's not black.
I counted...
Was your TV contrast down?
I counted a couple seconds where it was black.
Did you?
I don't remember that part.
Yeah, Zach, I think your brightness was down on your
maybe
screen.
Maybe it is. Maybe I was looking down at my phone trying to take notes about like how weird this
movie is. No, I'm pretty sure I would have recognized
that. Okay, we're going to go back.
Yeah, we should find it. Well, if anybody can find it, we'll pay you $3,000.
Garrick will pay you.
He's rich.
What I do know that they did a lot of, which is try and extend shots by making them slow motion in post. And that gives you this choppy slow-mo effect that is funny when you want it to be, very bad looking when you don't intend it to be.
Okay.
Listen, do you want to know a fun fact about this movie early? It's supposed to take place in Tampa, Florida.
They say it.
It's yeah. in the movie. It's yeah. on a sign. My oh. hometown, my beach town of oh, Tampa, Florida. But they shot it in Australia.
No, they did not.
They shot it in Australia, mate.
No, they did not. How do you know this?
Mate, it's like part of the lore of the movie is that they want the girl's going to move to Australia, but they literally shot it in Australia. I'm like 99% sure. Rainey, can you double check on that?
That's crazy because usually when you so movies get big tax breaks by shooting in Australia, but you need a certain percentage of Australian crew and cast.
Oh,
and then you get like a real then you get like tons of
maybe yeah. all the extras were Australian.
Yeah, maybe all the yeah, maybe it was just like outside of the main cast. Yeah. Everybody else is just Australian doing like a good American crew. Accent. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's the storm washes our girl into the pool. Emma Roberts falls into the water. She freaks out.
Yeah. Does anybody have a theory on like, did she wish for this mermaid to come into the pool? Like, did that become while they were wishing and doing like a spell or whatever over the summer? I don't remember what the spell was. Do you think that that's what summoned her in the first place? Like, this was like Kazam or whatever. And
yes, where it was an accidental like seance-y thing where they like called in that energy.
Yeah, like you said the phrase that was needed to activate her mermaid.
They were like, summer gods, send us a way to make this summer stay and you're our right. friends never have to go away. Throw the popcorn over your shoulder. I think that is exactly what happened.
Okay.
And it just so happened to be the same thing.
Don't, but I'm going to choose to say I like it.
Yeah. She ran away from home.
That's what I thought was happening. And then it just, they just never explained it ever again. I was like, oh, well, okay.
But watching her literally be a fish out of water.
That was funny.
It was so fun.
That
like,
was funny.
The scenes that stand out in my brain from childhood are her getting her feet for the first time. And she's like, you need to wear a shirt in public. And she's like, look at my butt. Isn't it cute? And then you're like, oh my God, this is scandalous. She throws her a big t-shirt and she comes out with a fucking like blue mini dress on. And you're like,
she has the arm sticking out to the side. And they go, no, silly, you have to put your arms through it. And then she ties it around her neck and they're like,
fashion.
God damn.
Fishing.
We like it. No,
like it. We tried. And that moment is like, she's cool. She has blue hair.
Yeah, she's cool.
She's effortlessly confident. It was like almost a Jiminy Cricket for like teenage girlhood confidence coach. Yeah.
It was a nice like little my older cousin is coming to visit type of thing, and she's gonna show us how to be cool
around boys. She's
and how
our
to, like,
secret
talk
weapon.
Back. Yeah, it was giving that energy. Yeah.
I was going to save this for later, but if we want to enter Zach's unnecessary semiotics corner,
go on.
I think this is a movie about puberty.
Oh,
I agree.
Yeah.
What do you mean? 100%.
How is it about puberty?
I think Aquamarine is, she is like the patron saint of their puberty to the point that literally when she first gets there, she like gets mad and she turns all red. Whoa.
That's your period.
Okay. But really it is these young girls who don't know how to grow up and are obsessed with like where they are at in puberty. And then you have Sarah Paxton come in as Aquamarine.
Sex pot.
Exactly. She is like representing everything they wish they can be. Mm-hmm. And what the journey of the film shows is actually, what is the bros before hoes? Sisters before misters.
Before misters. And that maybe friendship was the answer all along.
Yeah,
maybe
really.
Friendship
the love
was
of a friend
journey.
Is also proof. Yep. That love exists.
The one of the most iconic lines, which I'm shocked you didn't start with this for the pod, was when they're teaching her how to be a girl, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, you made my fish come out of the hiding spot." And Emma Roberts, the little sweet nerd, just is like, "Can you make my boobs come out too?" And we thought that was fucking hilarious. And mate, same. Still waiting. Can you make my boobs come out too? Like, it was so, and that just goes along with the puberty thing of like unable to step into your like really like post-pubescent self and own your bodies.
It's about finding your power.
Yeah.
Finding your feminine power.
All right.
There it is.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the way that JoJo and Emma Roberts gave up, they sacrificed.
I know.
Their crush.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, Raymond. They did. That was crazy.
Couldn't be me.
That's what I said. I was like,
no.
That is friendship.
I thought it was going to be like a three-way fight. Yeah. Like, oh, I don't like this mermaid at all. But
now that's some hijinks I can get behind.
Yeah.
Also,
oh, yeah.
Also, what, is he the only fucking lifeguard in Tampa?
No, but he's the only blonde one. So there goes that. It's the rarity of the hair type.
The Hollister image really fucked us all.
Also, you know Tampa. Slim pickings.
That's why I left.
Yeah.
Fully why I left.
Yeah.
JoJo, a star.
Yes. I was shocked. I was like taken aback. I was like, well, Emma Roberts, she's a professional actress. She's a Roberts. It's in her blood. It's in her DNA.
It's
of course she's
going to
bring a performance. Yeah. But yeah, JoJo was giving her a run for her money. And I was like, that's fucking crazy that she's acting just as well as you and she can sing your fucking teeth off.
Oh, yeah.
That's insane.
Because I feel like JoJo's been lost to the sands of time, but
I've heard that she's like starting to hear her head back out, yeah.
But she was locked up in a Kesha contract.
And I've heard about that contract being the main thing, and this is why she's now starting to come back out.
Exactly. Yeah.
But like, Leave, Get Out.
Fantastic song. Probably can eat off of that for years to come. I'm really hoping so.
And it's surprising to me with how good she is in this movie. Like, I'm not going to say she's the greatest actress I've ever seen, but like,
she could act. Yeah.
And like, that this is all I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know her being in other movies.
I feel like I'm halfway through I'm Glad My Mom Died. So maybe she doesn't like acting at all.
Sure. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe she just wants to be a singer.
I get that.
So it makes total sense.
Her and Emma Roberts as like a buddy duo, probably the greatest thing to happen since Abbott and Costello. and I think, as you pointed out, a lot has to do with the writing. After they discover Aquamarine in the pool, Emma Roberts says, I'm paraphrasing here, but there was something in there. No way. Way. Then we'll have to go back. No way. Scaredy cat. Ugh. Meet me here at 9 p.m. when no one's looking.
Great.
Yeah. That's how we talked as teenagers.
I just love it. Yeah. Every scene is just brute force to the next.
Yeah.
I want to talk about mermaid puns.
Okay.
You've been doing them.
Yeah. You have.
Well, I think honestly, it left me wanting more, but the ones that we got were good.
They're pretty
solid.
So
we've got the shell phone.
Yeah.
God, you used to call me on my shell phone.
Yeah.
That's where I came from.
They have a shell, and it's, well, you know how you can hear the ocean? The ocean can hear you back. And that's just like good wish fulfillment right
there.
Oh,
you mean good writing?
Sure.
Is that it?
Sure.
I've been saying it.
You had we talked about the starfish earrings earlier, but I don't think we explained what they do.
You go get live starfish out of the ocean, you clip them on earrings, and they whisper compliments into your ears all day because she says, well, you know, starfish earrings really compliment me. And she's like, I have a pair of earrings just for you. That'll be just fine. She's like, no, they literally compliment me, mate.
Love it.
That's so cute.
That's what they're adorable. And you just hear them, yeah, you're the best. Yeah, yeah. I love your voice. And blah, blah.
You know what my favorite bit was? And actually, I thought this was like, oh, this is a good, fish out of water, little scene. But she's on a date and she pours a ton of salt into her water to drink.
That
is just good.
That's good. She's from the ocean. She needs it.
Drink salt, and then she also doesn't really know how to do normal things. Like, she doesn't know what to do with cotton candy.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know.
Like, it disappears in your mouth. And all this. I feel like there was like an in between where it's just like I know how to roast people, but I also don't know what cotton candy is. You know, like, it's like what world do we live in? Like,
that's a great point. You know, she's mean when she comes out.
She was
I know how to walk, but I also, you know, don't know. I have to put my arms through sleeves.
Yeah.
She's sassy.
Yeah.
But you guys, she comes from a place where literally love doesn't exist.
That's fair.
You guys are forgetting a major plot point that she tells us.
Yeah.
My colony doesn't believe in love.
I hear that, but I still think she was rude.
Yeah.
She comes out and she's like, what? Never seen a mermaid before? Oh, wink. Wink, wink. And then
she'd never been on land before. She didn't know.
And she's like, fucking with them.
But she's
and
been like watching people on land this entire time. Like, that's how she knew that.
We can't confirm.
But at one point, she talks about a different mythological creature. She's like, what? You think those are real?
She's like, what? You guys believe in genies?
That's the one.
That's just funny writing.
Yeah. It's like, you are a genie. You give wishes.
Yeah. That was cool.
That is where, it's kind of that's an interesting, that is a Twilight level retelling of lore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is that in this movie, you know, in Twilight, their skin is sparkly. Yeah. Right? Okay, mm-hmm. That's not never been a part of vampires.
At all.
In this movie, they decide that if you help a mermaid,
yeah,
you get if you just help them, they'll grant you a wish.
Yeah, that's like some shit where I'm like, is that from the Odyssey and I didn't know? Like, is this like deep lore and that I'm not knowing about? But yeah, it's very strange. That's a very strange one. And then also that I get to give myself legs and I don't have to make a deal with my evil aunt.
Well,
in order to get legs.
Not Little Mermaid, even though there's so many things that are screaming Little Mermaid, like an overbearing father who wants to marry you off to someone to control the underworld. It's like women have no rights under the water.
Under the sea.
You know, it's just, and like, hello, again, I go back to a parental neglect. She doesn't know what love is. Her father doesn't believe in love. Oh, hi, Dad. What about the love you have for a child? Mm. No, I'm going to go seek it elsewhere. And men that aren't available or understanding, like Raymond, it's just, it makes so much sense why she had to protect herself with cocky confidence.
Fair enough. Mm.
Yeah, I turned that in a therapeutic way.
Yeah, that's going to be a doctor.
Yeah.
I was filming an episode of Phoning It In that has Mythical Josh in it, and he taught me the origin of mermaids was apparently sailors fucking manatees.
No! Oh.
Sick.
And then they'd be like, no, like she was really hot.
No.
She had like a fish bottom, but like the top was like a beautiful. She was
manatees.
You were just fucking
like
a manatee.
Bulbous clay looking feature. Like what gives hot?
How dare you? I guess they were just out at sea for that long, you know?
Hey, this is Mythical Josh, you know? Who knows? But I trust him. I wouldn't dare fact check him.
Fair enough.
Speaking of creepy things, can I talk about one of my favorite part of like this era of movies? Everything from like Home Alone to like just it's a general consensus of character you have to have.
That is creepy, but also nice.
Old people creep kids out is what I mean. Like looking at them, they're like terrified. Like, is that my future? But they don't understand that that's what they're actually afraid of.
I want to talk about there's one pivotal scene with JoJo that I adore.
Yeah.
First of all, this movie has like dark themes for no reason. I guess let's talk about that, actually.
Okay, yeah.
Because Emma Roberts, her parents died drowning in a sailing accident.
Yeah.
Classic.
Pourquoi?
She needed to be afraid of water.
She needs to be afraid of water.
Did she?
To overcome her fear. She needed growth.
Is that what she needed to grow?
Did she need to lose her family in order
like
for that to happen?
How else would a mermaid help her?
Honestly, it could have just been, oh, I am afraid of swimming. She could have just said that. She didn't. Nobody had to die.
The writing was so deep. They were like, yeah, why? But why is she afraid of swimming, right?
Yeah.
Why? Give me any other reason. Yeah. You only go back to because her parents drowned.
No. I'm only thinking about the fact that I'm sorry. I was looking past that question and I was thinking about the fact that that should make her afraid of boats, not swimming.
Water in general. Water.
If anything, she should be like, I'm going to become the world's greatest swimmer.
I won't drown. I will
never drown.
She doesn't
do that until she gets her period and becomes actualized. She will eventually.
Good point. Yeah. Furthering the dark themes, you have this scene where Aquamarine is going to run away. She's gonna go back into the ocean and JoJo runs after her. This is her Teen Choice Award moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the monologue that she practiced and said, I'm going to get me a People's Choice invitation.
A statue.
And Aquamarine's like, what am I even doing here? Love stinks. And JoJo, she has to win her over. She has to prove to Aquamarine that love is real, right?
Yes, it is.
She's got to keep her from jumping back in the ocean, throwing her whole life away. So JoJo gives a speech. What speech does JoJo give to convince Aquamarine that love is worth it? She says, well, let me tell you what. My dad said that he loved us. And then he said he loved me. He loved my mom.
He started another fucking family.
And then he left us. And he started another family. So don't give up. Because love is the closest thing we have to magic.
Oh my God.
That explains her abandonment issues. It's why she doesn't want to move again. She just wants stability. The writing is unmatched.
Oh my God.
The depth, the way they deliver. Why is she such an angry teen?
Zach? Because her dad is another family.
Yes, but we don't know that until the climax of the film.
But she has one chance. She had one chance. Yeah. Rent was due. Yeah. And she needed to keep Aquamarine from getting in the water. Yeah. And she said, love will cause your dad to leave.
It is the most painful thing.
You gotta do it.
Yeah.
But the pain of love also proves that the love was there, and it's better to have loved and lost your dad to another family.
The thing that is crazy is that's not hinted at all.
She's angry. What do you mean?
It's not even kind of hinted.
You're like, why is she a single mom? Why is JoJo so against moving? Why? Even her best friend calls her out. She's like, you're such an angry
teen. But being against moving has nothing to do with fucking my dad.
Y'all weren't paying attention to the context.
This is the fourth build character in the film.
Yeah.
Okay.
It goes Aquamarine.
Bye forever.
Emma Roberts.
Yeah.
The love interest. I'm just saying, as terms, she's the sidekick.
JoJo's film.
Because she Melissa McCarthy did. She took over. Yeah. But she is the sidekick. Let us know.
Wasn't it introducing JoJo?
Either way, that's my point. It's JoJo's film.
It is not JoJo's
film. It opens on JoJo.
I'm sorry. Is the film called JoJo or is it called Water Water?
It's called Water Water.
It's not called JoJo.
Yeah, it's Miss Faxon's movie.
I can't believe it.
This is just not the main character.
No, but it was just so fucking crazy that it just came out of nowhere. Just kind of in the same way that she was like, she's afraid of water because she drowned. It's like, but my dad left us and I still believe in love. I don't think that is in any way like let in by her moving, because there's a ton of movies where it's just like, yeah, I got to work in Australia now, so we got to move. I'm sorry, buddy. Blah, 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 blah. And that's what I read it as. I was like, okay. Sure, they have to move. I didn't see it as, oh, she's jumping around from place to place to run away from her father.
The pain of her loss of family. It was so clear to me, but that's
but
also
was,
just
she
why.
She moved to Tampa.
Moved from Boston to Tampa to escape the pain of the father leaving.
Right, so she has to move again?
Yes, and that's why she doesn't want to go. Okay. And that's why she's so mean to her mom. Yeah. She's like, you fucking moved us and my parents suck dick. And it makes, listen, teenage girls are emotional. Okay, they bottle things out and then they just explode like a fizzy soda. And that was, it made perfect sense.
Okay, all right. I yield.
We have to.
I can see.
Did someone order a sandwich? Yeah, I want to talk about Cecilia, the villain of the film.
Icon, Mandy Moore, John right? Tucker Must Die.
She's great.
It is
Mandy Moore, correct?
No.
Fuck.
You thought that was Mandy Moore?
Please don't get mad at me.
No, okay. I'm not mad at you. I'm perplexed.
Yeah.
Her name is Arielle Kebble.
Yeah, it was.
She's given such dumb material that she has to sell. And let me tell you, she sells it.
Yeah, she does.
Let me tell you, this girl was in everything as a child. And she was always the hottie McHottie snotty. And she gave facial scars a fucking arc. She was the hottest girl with a scar on her face. And that's just remember being like, she's hot as hell. Like,
and she has a scar.
And she's got a scar. What are we afraid of? Like,
that's how I felt about Tina Fey.
Oh yeah. Big
why
scar.
Why did you make that face?
Because
you were thinking of the scar.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, she does have a big scar.
Sorry, it's not me and my neck scar that makes
yours is so perfectly hidden on the jawline that every time I forget it's a scar and I just think you're chiseled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay, we'll take
it
that.
It gives you chin.
I know.
It's the best thing that could have happened.
I think it's cool because it makes you look like someone slit your throat.
Yeah.
And then you can be like,
which you should tell people.
I survived though.
Nah. Yeah. He tried to get me. See the other guy? She has a villain turn that is confusing, but great. And she commits all the way.
Yeah.
She's driven mad by the mermaid. She's driven mad for the D.
I would read that book, Driven Mad by the Mermaid.
Driven Mad by the Mermaid. Yeah. Because basically, look, if you want to, again, go back to the semiotics, that this is a sisters over misters movie. Yeah. That you need to understand your femininity as a power. We have the patron saint of your blooming sexuality in Aquamarine, who is confident and embodied. Well, the foil to that is we have Cecilia, the villain,
Banks,
who is going to throw people literally off a bridge.
Commit a full felon.
She
That's attempted murder.
That is attempted fucking murder.
Tosses her off a very tall boardwalk into rough waters.
Yeah.
Not even 100% sure, because she's thinking she's losing her marbles. Yeah. She's losing her mind. And she goes, this is my last fucking 300 this bitch off the side of the Santa Monica Pier.
This is Tampa.
Nice.
But yeah, she is the absolute definition of someone who puts the D before the we.
Oh, don't put the D before the we. It's sisters before misses.
Can I admit something embarrassing?
Yeah.
Growing up, my whole life until today, I thought her little crony, you know how she has two cronies that drive around in her convertible with her? I thought the blonde one was Kirsten Dunst.
Huh.
I was like, oh, Kirsten Dunst was the girl from Bring It On. This is how she got her start. Not Suicide Virgins or whatever it's called.
Virgin Suicide.
There it is. Mm. But man, watching that today was a mind fuck. I was like, all did right. I have the millennial effect or whatever it's called? Mandela effect.
I will join you in this. I thought that Kirsten Dunst was the girl from Save the Last Dance.
Julia Stiles.
Yeah. I thought, was like, when I saw her in Spider-Man, I was like, wow, good for her.
They're very powdered faced girlies, blonde, light features. Yeah.
Well, I'll join you in this and just say Kirsten Dunst is awesome.
She's great.
And she is also fucking awesome.
She's great. She's very
having
cool.
her little moment with Civil War because I think she deserves the world.
Did you see it?
No.
Okay. I still haven't seen anything.
Yeah. Well, y'all want to move on for some fun facts?
Let's do it.
Oh, wow. Well, okay. Because I brought one fun fact that I found. This one really blew my mind. The first choice for Aquamarine was not Sarah Paxton.
Wow.
Despicable.
For shame.
Insane.
It was Jessica Simpson.
Whoa.
Who was unavailable.
Yeah.
Bad.
I wonder she was on fire at that point. Yeah,
Jessica Simpson would have been too old for that.
Yeah.
Role.
It would have been too big a titties.
Yeah. She would have been a little too old.
Big old bitties, yeah.
But by the way,
but
how iconic.
If it is Jessica Simpson, now you get to fully play into the puberty role, which is like, this is what I'm going to look like.
Yeah.
You know, more so than
Sarah actually
Paxton.
Does make the script make a little more sense because
widens the age gap too much for me.
I feel like it widens it in the same way that Life Size. Is it Life Size?
Tyra Banks
did, where it's just I'm hanging out with this adult.
Older sister.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't mention this before, but it's kind of giving Barbie in the real world.
Yeah.
It's any of those.
It's Life Size.
You know, it just felt like that.
She's a plastic toy that comes to life, but she's a
mermaid. Lives in a water tower.
Right.
Yeah. Sarah Paxton, again, I adore. And so I was watching this movie. I only adore her because of Sleepover.
Okay.
And that's why I watched this movie when I was younger. I was like, there's another Sarah Paxton movie? Let's fucking go. So I was like, is she a thoroughbred?
Oh.
Is she a Paxton?
Is she a thoroughbred?
So I looked it up. I wanted to know if she was Bill Paxton's daughter. She is not.
Oh.
But she was a child acting prodigy. So much so that she missed her bat mitzvah because she was on set.
Ballin
is what it is, baby. I got things
when
to do, people to see.
No, that's how I felt as a child. That's how JoJo felt as a child. Yes, I'm putting myself on the same level as those two. But when you know from childhood that you're gonna be a fucking entertainer,
yeah.
So I wondered what Sarah Paxton was up to because I'm like, where my girl been? And one, she's been in a bunch of stuff. She's still acting. She's having a great life. But she is married to Zach Cregger, director and writer of Barbarian.
Wow.
I was like, amazing. That's an exciting couple.
That is an exciting couple.
Yeah.
Good for them for keeping it private.
I fucking love that.
That's fun.
It made me all giddy.
That's just
like a Hollywood pair.
But one that I would have never expected.
One I'd hang out with.
Oh, yeah.
What else is he listening?
He was in, was it The Whitest Kids You Know? He did Sketch before
Barbarian. Oh, he did
Barbarian.
Sketch. Okay, I got you.
Holy shit, you are right. The movie was shot in Australia.
Australia.
And everyone in the cast was Australian except for those leads.
Wow.
Okay.
There you go.
What a fun. You're fucking Emma Roberts. Your aunt's Julia Roberts. You get to go on a summer vacation, shoot a movie in Australia.
You're thoroughbred.
Thoroughbred.
Okay, this is something that I've been wondering because you may know this. Kwesi and I did a video where we went to mermaid school. I've trained as a mermaid and it is very challenging.
Yeah.
You wear this fake tail fin. Yeah. It's very heavy. It's like you have to lube yourself up. I'm not kidding. You cover yourself in lube to get in. It fucking hurts getting in, getting out, the whole thing. So I was like, okay, did she have to do that? Yes.
It was huge.
It was, here, wait, I have the size right here. It weighed over 100 pounds, was approximately 8 feet in 8 feet in length.
Oh my God.
And she had to do a month of intensive swimming lessons in order to play that role.
Yeah, because so that probably thing not was drown. Huge.
Yeah, no, it's, wow. It's, I mean, you swim totally differently. It's yeah. undulating. It's like rolling your body a oh lot.
No, keep going.
Nice, nice. Somebody clip that and put pony
yeah.
behind it.
Yeah.
Do you want it? Our girl, Sarah, was originally cast as Cecilia the villain. You get a little typecast after Sleepover. But she said, no, I've had a dream since I was a kid of playing a mermaid. Please let me audition. And they did.
Wow.
And she won it.
And she got it.
We good fucking love that.
If you can take anything away from this pod, it's ask for what you want.
Damn.
You might receive it.
What's the worst they say? No?
Yeah. No.
Get used to
it. You deserve to be a villain. Mm. Insane.
Funny, this is, there is a couple examples of ADR not matching what their mouths yeah. are saying. We love that. Yeah. And Emma Roberts says that JoJo is one of her biggest inspirations.
Wow.
You know
it was
what, Emma?
Giving her sister vibes.
Yeah. Emma, same.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
JoJo, come on this podcast.
For the love
oh,
of God.
Fuck
the,
are you kidding me?
That would be so cool.
I'd cry. I think I listened to Get Out too many times.
She was so.
And I was just like, I was just quiet about
she
it.
Was
I was just in the corner,
with some
just listening
shit,
to fucking
man.
JoJo.
To deliver us that performance in that song, she was going
Jesus
through
Christ.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I, before we say if it's a pleasure, guilty pleasure, just plain guilty, can I drop in a quick my pleasure?
Oh, yes, please.
Because one, go listen to JoJo.
Listen
Amen.
To JoJo.
Two, there is a great cover of JoJo's Leave Get Out by the singer of Grizzly Bear. I want to say it's Daniel Rawson. I mean, I know that is singer Grizzly Bear, but I think they're different singers. I think he does the cover. Anyway, it is beautiful and sad and haunting.
I love it.
And I highly recommend. I don't even know if it's on Spotify. Just go find it on Google. Now it's time for us to decide, is this movie a pleasure, a guilty pleasure, or just plain guilty?
This is hard.
Oh boy. So like this one is like lowercase g, lowercase mm-hmm. p for
okay.
me.
Okay.
Mainly because I understand the appeal, mm-hmm. but it is so far away from my purview mm-hmm. that I was like sitting there, like my eye was twitching. I was like, fuck, I can't do this. Because this is what I feel like is a kid's movie.
Yeah.
Where you watch Inside Out uh-huh. and you're like, okay, well, this is obviously geared towards
yeah.
younger kids. But there are jokes
cinema.
For adults.
Yeah.
It's cinema.
Yeah.
It's all of these things. Or you watch, what's another, like, quote unquote, kid's movie, but it's technically a family movie.
What was the
movie?
Jazz one?
Soul. But I was trying to think of a non-animated version. But...
Trek.
I say all that to say that because it's so starkly in between adult and child, it can look at a specific audience, which is 13-year-olds. And because I am so far away from that age now, and also so far away from Tampa, it's so specifically not for me.
Yeah.
That I personally couldn't enjoy it, but I understand why people would.
And I think that's the beauty of cinema is when you can go, this isn't for me, but good for them.
Good for them.
And I enjoyed this for what it was. And that's why I have to give this. And the only time I've really meant this ever saying this on this podcast, normally when I give something a guilty pleasure, I'm like, because this is the thing we're embarrassed about. This is what this show's about. It's the definition of a guilty pleasure. But like, I genuinely mean this as a compliment that it's a guilty pleasure. And that's all I have to say about that.
I'm with you. I think that it's part of the charm of this movie is how rough around the edges it is.
Yeah, yeah.
This was cobbled together in the edit room.
This hurts
This is a movie that is not made with grace, but it's made with heart.
Stop it. Yeah.
But it's made with heart.
That's hilarious.
And it makes me love it all the more.
Pinch of salt.
Oh, just put a pinch of salt. Put,
lot
dump
of salt.
The whole thing
of
salt in your
thing.
Water.
I love it.
Oh, boy.
Sarah Paxton, the world didn't deserve ye.
No.
They weren't ready.
I hope that he makes a movie with her.
Her. As like a scream queen.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be sick. A Sarah Paxton, a people would be cool. Renaissance.
Oh, hell yeah.
We'll be sick.
Oh, she'd be sick, hot.
Oh, shit. And then Zach Cregger and Sarah Paxton maybe have a little thoroughbred.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I'd support that.
I watched that movie. Team. Yeah. What an app.
What a great
what
time.
What a time. What a life.
What a good
Feel
time.
Cozy
Thank
inside.
God I didn't get any water on my legs or else I would have turned back into a mermaid.
Yeah.
Mm. We didn't talk about how she's a mermaid until the sun goes down. Or she's a human.
No, we did. We talked about that. How they just threw in lore. That you get to make wishes and that she's got legs for a little bit.
Yeah, it's like, is that old sea folklore? Yeah.
We didn't spend nearly enough time on how insane this lore is.
We didn't.
What is going on? She can have legs when she wants to during the day, but when the moon comes, when the sun goes away, then her tail comes out.
But also, if she gets wet, salt water on her,
and if she dares to step into the ocean, her daddy will know where she is immediately.
The writing is unmatched.
I'm at Corn Diddy on all the things.
Kelsey Nair on all the things.
I'm Garrick Bernard on all the things.
Yeah, and until next time, she gets scared in the water, her parents drown.
There it is. Boop, boop.